of Moses, and we've called them Moments with Moses, and we are going to be looking today at the fact that Moses was called to pass on. We've seen him as called to save, we've seen him as called to trust, we've seen him in a situation where people were called to consequences, and then we saw last time we were together that we were called from faith to faith. This morning, we're called to pass on. So Deuteronomy 31, I want to read the first 8 verses. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Zion and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. We thank God for his word. So we come to both these passages are going to begin by looking primarily at Numbers 28. And I have given this morning's message this ambiguous title, Call to Pass On, for two reasons. First and foremost, there is going to come a day in the lives of all of us when we use the term, we will pass on. The day when we will all die. Scripture is clear that it is appointed unto men and women once to die, and after that to face the judgment. But the ambiguity of this title, Call to Pass On, is there because I believe that as Christians, we all need to work consciously towards passing on our ministry and preparing those who will take up our ministries, and at the same time that has an application to those of us who are younger. We have to consciously accept the fact that, as the hymn writer says, we are to bear the torch that flaming fell from the hand of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Younger people are to take up the responsibilities of serving God in our day and generation, of proclaiming the gospel. Now, in many ways, this will be a very practical message, but also I want us to see it as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he completed the work that he did here on earth, but he also passed on the work. He prepared for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the eternal God. He could have remained here on earth in his resurrected body if he had chosen to do that. But that was not God's purposes. And in fact, the Holy Spirit could not be given until Christ was exalted in glory. But from an earthly angle, from a human angle, Jesus had lived, he completed his work, and then he gave the work to the Holy Spirit to continue God's purposes here on earth. Friends, this morning, old and young, we have to acknowledge that our lives here on earth are limited. They're limited by sin. And the reading in Numbers, that Moses acknowledged that he had spoken unwisely, and he had reacted to the people. So his life was acknowledged by his own sin. And friends, this morning, our lives are limited by our own sin. What a man sows, that also shall he reap, Paul tells us in Galatians. But our lives are also limited by original sin, that sin that we inherit because we are the descendants of Adam and Eve, and we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we begin this message this morning acknowledging that we have a limited time of service here on earth. As Christians, we are given eternal life, and we enjoy that eternal life beginning here on earth, but it goes on into a new experience. But we have to focus on the fact that we are limited. Now, Moses accepted his limitations because of original sin and because of his own sin. But he wanted God to provide a man after his own heart. And that's my first title, or first heading this morning, that as Moses faced his own limitations, he prayed, Lord, raise up a man who will serve you. Look at the way he speaks. We hear in Numbers 27, verse 15. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep that have no shepherd. And here Moses is speaking in a way as the Lord describes David. He's speaking as a man after God's own heart. Moses is saying, Lord, your people need a shepherd. Lord, your people need a man who will care for them. Now, we thank God that we have in heaven the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But such is the arrangement of God for caring for his people that he appoints under shepherds, those who will take responsibility. Moses recognizes the need that he has led God's people for 40 years. Yes, with elders, even with Joshua, who has been appointed to work alongside him and who was there, not with Moses on the top of the mountain, but he went up partway up the mountain when Moses received the Ten Commandments. Joshua had led God's people in battles when Moses had prayed. But Moses is here praying that God would appoint a man after his own heart, a man who would be a shepherd, who would go out and would come in before his people. And these words, which Moses effectively prays here, they echo down throughout history. And in Matthew 9, we have the Lord Jesus Christ looking out over the crowd, and he sees them as harassed and helpless, as sheep that have no shepherd. Ezekiel, when he recognized the failure of leaders in his day and generation, again said that God's people with those who have no shepherd. And notice how Moses prays here. Verse 16. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them. Why does Moses pray like that? Well, I believe that Moses had learned hard lessons during his life. His parents knew from his birth that God had kept this child. He was kept. He grew up to be a man. And he knew that God had purposes in his life. But at the age of 40, he had seen the needs of his people. And he looked on their burdens, we're told in Exodus 2. Having had the privileged life in the palace of Pharaoh, he goes out and he sees the Hebrew slaves. And he is moved with compassion towards them. And what does he do? He rises up to defend them. And he kills an Egyptian taskmaster. But as a result of that, he lived for 40 years with regrets. So as he prays here, he is praying, let the Lord, the God of the Spirit, appoint a man over the congregation. He wants God to raise up a man. He wants God to appoint his person, a man who will be wise. He doesn't want volunteers. He doesn't want people who think they have got the answer. But he wants God to raise up. Because he had learned from his own mistakes. But remember, in the 40 years that Moses has led God's people, he'd also known horrible experiences and horrible lessons because he had seen men appointed as priests. He had seen family members, his own brothers and sisters, and he had known ordinary citizens taken from this world. One, because they had not been prepared to trust God. And two, because they had wanted to overstep the mark. They had wanted to take to themselves a position that God had not given them. And therefore, when Moses prays like this, Lord, you appoint a man. He's saying, Lord, I can look back. I can look back over 120 years. I can look back even over these 40 years where your people have lived knowing that they are the redeemed people of God. And I can see that even the redeemed people of God can make mistakes. And he's saying, Lord, I love these people. Don't let them live without a shepherd. Don't let them live aimlessly and hopelessly. But give to them one who will lead them. And we have here, as I said earlier, a clear picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The night of his betrayal, he says that I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send a helper. I will send a counselor. I will send a comforter who will be with you forever. Moses is praying, Lord, appoint a man after your own heart. And having prayed like that, I then want you to see the way that God entrusts this man, the responsibility that God gives him. Here in Numbers 27 and verse 21, we see a changeless ministry statement. A ministry statement that, in effect, continues down throughout history for the people of God. Verse 21, He shall stand before Eliezer. Now he's speaking specifically here about Joshua. He shall stand before Eliezer the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the people of Israel with him, the whole congregation. Now, we are not a nomadic people any longer. We are a settled people. But there is a way in which there are principles in this ministry statement that apply to us today. Leaders of God's people, we are here at the beginning of a new period of service. We've had a rest of the summer. And next week we will be gathering for a week of prayer. And what will we be doing? We will be standing before our priest. Not Eliezer, not a man here on earth, but our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua is presented before Eliezer. Friends, can I challenge, can I make it clear to each of you who will take up responsibilities within the ministry of our church in this coming autumn period, in the year that lies before us, can I lay it clearly before you that you will be doing this work in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? You will not be doing it ultimately before other people. You will not be doing it before the elders or members of this congregation. You will be doing it before God. A preacher was once asked, weren't you worried when you saw that famous preacher sitting in the congregation this morning? He said, no, because I always preach in the presence of the Most Holy God. And as we serve God, we serve in the presence of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that we are told that Eliezer will inquire for him. And we have here a picture of prayer. During the Aberystwyth Conference this year, I heard Ian Parry say that the Reformation restored the priesthood of all believers. But there's a way in which the Reformed movement in the 20th century and the 21st century has almost allowed a particular priesthood to come back. We don't call it a priesthood, but we lay such emphasis on the ministry of the word, on those who are appointed to preach, that we forget the work of prayer. Now, Eliezer is here standing as a priest, and we are told that he shall inquire of the Lord. Friends, as we begin a new period of service, if it's here at Emmanuel or perhaps in the church that you would normally attend, let me encourage you to see that the priority for us as those who serve God in our day and generation is to be a people of prayer. We announce our prayer meetings on Wednesday. Where are you when we gather? Is it a priority when we gather? Are you concerned to participate in prayer? Are you concerned that your voice might be heard on high, and that you might be the means under God of leading us in to the presence of God? Oh, Bernard, who am I? I can't pray like these other people pray. I think I've used this illustration here before, but allow me to use it again. I remember being at a prayer meeting at my first pastorate in London, and this dear old lady led us in prayer, and she spoke about, she quoted that children's chorus, "We're going on a journey on the Happy Day Express, the letters on the engine are J-E-S-U-S." Now, to me that is so inane? And I think, well, you know, let's be realistic. But friends, I can say to you that morning, as that dear lady pointed us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of God came down. So simple. I'd never heard her speak in a meeting. She wasn't in a position of leadership. But as she led us in prayer, she led us into the presence of God. We can all pray. We must pray individually. I would say that we must pray corporately. Next week, as we meet for our week of prayer, please give it a priority so that we can say, God, we know that we need you. But notice how this ministry statement develops, that this man is to go out and to come in, and he is to lead God's people. The Christian life is not a sedentary life. It's not a sit back and let's enjoy what is going to happen. We're on a journey with our God. You read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, and he gives that graphic description of the battles and the blessings, of the encouragements, of the trials of the Christian life. He is moving on with God. He is not going to be content. Yes, he gets bogged down in the slough of despond. He gets into a state of drowsiness and sleepiness on the enchanted mountain. But he has got one view, one aim, one goal, the celestial city. We are to move on with God. Young or old, the journey is not yet complete. The journey will happen at different paces. We are told that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we know those different experiences in life, don't we? When we've got the energy of youth, we feel as though we could fly. Then there is that leveling off. And yes, we are prepared to run. But for some of us, now we've got to the point where we can barely walk. But we can renew our strength as we continue to walk with our God. And notice that this man is to serve the whole congregation. Brothers and sisters, we are the body of Christ. We are members one of another. This morning, we have prayed for William and Nurgis. We have prayed, in effect, for the Cogdell family. And it's wider application. Why? Because we suffer with one another. And we weep with one another. But we've prayed for Vicky. We give thanks to God that another has been saved. We have prayed for the children of our church. Our prayer is that they would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we pray for them as they face the realities of life. And we are a body. I don't know about you, but if I stub my toe, it isn't only my toe that hurts. It's my whole body. My body reacts. And I can feel myself tense up. And that's how it is in the Christian life. Or if we enjoy a good meal, it isn't just our stomach that says, oh, that was nice. We feel the energy that flows from it. Our mouth enjoys the tantalizing tastes. We are a whole congregation. We are the body of Christ. Those of us who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We grow together. And it is vital, this meeting on Wednesday. This isn't just a free-for-all. It's a matter of saying, yes, God spoke to this person at Aberystwyth, or perhaps you'll bring something from another experience that you've had over this summer period. And you will want to say, God so encouraged me in this, or God challenged me in that. And you might think, boy, although I was in that meeting, I didn't hear that. I didn't pick that up. But we will benefit from the way that God has led us and the way that God has helped us. Now let's flick over to Deuteronomy 31, to that passage that I read there. For the final point that I want to make under this heading of a changeless ministry statement. Notice how Moses speaks to the whole congregation. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Here he is speaking to the congregation. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Moses gave this promise. And this promise has echoed down throughout history. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ. As he commissioned his disciples, he said to them, go and make disciples of all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we've got this changeless ministry statement. But my third point this morning is that it is a God-given ministry statement. And here I want us to look at verses 7 and 8. This is Deuteronomy 31, verses 7 and 8. In a way, each statement in this ministry statement would be a sermon in itself. But I just want us to see it this morning as a focus of how we approach life generally, living as Christians, but also how we approach our ministry here. Now, before I say anything with reference to these verses, I want to make a confession. I don't find evangelism easy. And if I can cop out from something like tomorrow, for example, with Pill Carnival, look, this has come up, I won't be able to do it. And there's a way in which we can be weakened. So the things that I'm going to say now, I say admitting the fact that to live and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ is not always easy. But notice what Moses now says to Joshua, a personal promise to those who would serve God. This is Deuteronomy 31. He said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. Those of us who have responsibility for leadership, both in the church and within the ministries within the church, we are to be meek, but we are not to be weak. In other words, there is to be a humility about us, but there is also to be a strength and a courage. Just this morning, I was reading 1 Corinthians 16 as part of my devotions, and these words were written by Paul to the church in Corinth, the church that had huge problems. And he says this, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. Friends, I want to encourage you. I want to give you courage, not my courage, because I am weak and frail, but that courage and strength which comes from the Lord. And the ministry statement then goes on, and Joshua is commissioned to go with this people. And we are to acknowledge those that God has given us responsibility for. Obviously, I speak this morning as your pastor, and I acknowledge my responsibility. But within the ministries of our church, whatever particular area it is, we as a church have said to you, take responsibility for this area of work. And in taking that responsibility, we want you to be with those people. We don't simply want you to lead meetings. We want you to be intimately involved with these people. We want you to know when they go through difficulties. We want you to pray for them. We want you to bring from those meetings points to our meetings for prayer within the church, so that we indeed are together as a people. Within your families, you have responsibilities. God has given you children. God has given you parents. God has given you brothers and sisters. And one of the things that came out of Artaxerxes' ministry at Abba this year was that the fact that within the New Testament, the most common picture of the church is the family, where we're told time and time again that Paul writes to brothers and sisters, and we are to go with this people. Notice he says, you're to go with this people into the land. Now, we must remember that this is the Old Testament, and God gave his Old Testament people a land, a sliver of land almost, small compared even to Wales. And yet, today, we are the church. And what has God given to us? Israel? Has he given to us Wales? Has he given to us the United Kingdom? No! Open your eyes! We have been given the nations. We are to go into all the world. We are to fulfill the promise given to Abraham, that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Friends, let's have that vision. Yes, we are to witness to Pill, and we'll be at Pill Carnival tomorrow. But we are to witness to Newport. We are to witness to other parts of the UK. I thank God for the nationalities that are represented in our congregation these days. We should have a prayerful spirit for these different nations, and for the relatives of different members of the congregation. Let's get above ourselves. Let's move on from me, and let us have that desire to see God glorified in all the nations here on earth. And Moses tells Joshua to go into the land that the Lord has promised to give them. It is the Lord who goes before you. And we are to acknowledge that we have that great presence of God. And for us, we have been promised the Holy Spirit who will dwell within us. Moses could look back to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Joshua could look back to Moses and see how God had used this man of 80 years of age into retirement, as far as we are concerned. But God says, no, I have got a work for you. And friends, I want to say to you this morning that the Lord is with you. What Lord? The Lord of creation. The Lord of Calvary. The Lord who died and was buried. The Lord who was raised from the dead and conquered death. The Lord who has ascended into heaven and there is seated at the right hand of God. He is with you. He is with us. And he's not behind us. I remember hearing a preacher say on one occasion, and I was sat in the congregation, he was a visiting preacher, he said, don't say to your pastor, we're behind you, pastor, because sometimes you can be so far behind that you don't know where you are. No, we are to be with you, and we are to go forward together, knowing that God is with us. Friends, this morning, It's the God of Galilee who goes with us. The God who said to Peter, do you love me? The God who had said to Peter earlier, follow me. It's the God of Pentecost who goes with us, who empowered that man who had failed. Do you hear this message this morning and think, I'm a failure. How can God use me? Well, look at Peter. Look at Moses. And God says, I will be with you. And God says, he will be with you. We've just sung, haven't we? Run not before him, whatever betide. Moses had learnt that lesson. He tried to run ahead of God. And for 40 years, he felt at a distance from God. But then he was drawn back. Friends, I want to say to you this morning that God says here, he will not leave you or forsake you. Are you aware that you've let God down once again? Are you aware that you were tempted and you yielded to temptation? I am. Constantly. We don't have a cross in our building, but we have it in our mind's eye, don't we? And I want you to see there on that cross that he bore all your sins. And yes, with your failure, you can come to him this morning and you can say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he will say, I will forgive you 70 times 7. Notice how Moses concludes this commission, this ministry statement. Do not fear or be dismayed. Let us thank God that we can go forward with him. Older people, be prepared to pass on and to equip younger people. Younger people, acknowledge that the Lord who has equipped an older generation and hundreds of generations is able to equip you. He will be with you, and may we be used to his glory and praise. Amen.